If you remember, several months ago before my accident, our sermon series was the Ten Commandments. We're going to return to that today. I will be reading from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Not only have you given us your Son Jesus Christ and your Holy Spirit, but you have given us your Word by which we can learn to love you and that we can come to understand your love for us. So we ask now that you would put your blessing upon the preaching and the hearing of your word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. When we come to the Ten Commandments, our first reaction, and maybe this is because of the way we were brought up or because of our lack of understanding of the Ten Commandments, the first thing we do is we put this in a category that we allow the commandments to judge us. If we keep these commandments, we're good. If we don't keep the commandments, we're bad. But that is the wrong way to look at the commandments. The preamble itself tells us that the Ten Commandments are given in the context of grace. They're not given in the context of judgment, meaning you trying to do these things to earn favor with God. Instead, they are given to us in the context that because God has already done something for you, your response is to love Him, and these Ten Commandments are ways to love God. Listen to the preamble again. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. It is a statement that God has already saved you. It is a statement that Jesus Christ has died for your sins and delivered you from your sins and delivered you from the influence and the power of the evil one. And so now your response to the grace of God is have no other gods before you. Don't make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And then we come to the second table of the law. You know, the commandments, in a sense, are kind of like Jacob's ladder. The first four commandments point us towards heaven. They point us towards how we are to worship God and love God. Commandments 5 through 10 are like from the earth. They teach us how to love one another, those that are here on the earth. By the first table, we walk with God.
By the second table, we walk with one another because we are made in the image of God. And as the honor of God is more excellent than the honor of men, so Christ, in giving us the law, he begins with our honoring of God. But take note, just because Christ begins with how we are to honor God, commandments 1 through 4, that does not mean that he regulates commandments 5 through 10 to less importance. Jesus was asked, "Rabbi, what is the greatest commandment?" And he says, "The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength." But listen. And then he said, "But the second is like it." But the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. What Jesus is saying is that the first table is connected to the second table. In other words, you cannot be good in commandments 1 through 4 unless you are good in commandments 5 through 10. Nor can you be good in the second table if you're bad in the first. The two tables are not meant to be separated. They are to be received as a whole. It is impossible for men to love God if they're not loving their neighbor. It is impossible to love your neighbor if you are not loving God. In other words, a close walk with God is demonstrated by loving those who are made in the image of God. You cannot have a close walk with God if you're not seeking to submit to yourselves commandments 5 through 10. And this morning we look at commandment 5, honor your father and mother. Now, why is this so important? Well, as we honor our mother and our father, we honor God. God is all powerful. Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. He has all power of the earth. And all the powers that are on earth, powers like mom and dad, the magistrates, employers, elders in the church, and so on and so on. They have been established in those positions by God Himself. Listen to what Peter says. "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted by men." Ephesians chapter 5. "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Romans 13. "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established." The authorities that exist, mom and dad, the elders of the church, employers, the magistrate, those authorities that exist have been established by Christ. The writer to the Proverbs says, "By God kings reign and rulers make laws that are just. By God, princes govern and all nobles who rule on earth." Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father with angels and authorities and powers, all in submission to Him. Thus, all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Christ, and He gives that authority to whom He desires. There has never been any kind of earthly authority. You think about that. There has never been any kind of earthly authority that was not placed in that position by Jesus Christ. Christ put kings on their throne, and He has removed those kings. Any authority on earth is an authority by Christ, whether they are good parents or bad parents, a good employer or a bad employer, good kings or bad kings, whether it is a democratic republic or it is a communist tyrant, whether it is a president or a tyrant. It doesn't matter.
in all those, that authority that they hold has been given to them by God. Even if when you were in seventh grade, you got sent to the principal's office, I'm not going to tell you who that happened to, but it happened to somebody. That authority that sent that person there and then acted upon it, that authority was established by Christ. Now, the Bible does not spell out what kind of human type of government we should have. We can surmise from the Bible which is best, but the Bible itself does not say you should have this type of government or that type of government or this type of government. Whatever kind of government it is, they are commissioned by God. They are, in a sense, His lieutenants to carry out His orders. They are to keep the peace, order, and purity in the home and in society. But notice, I did not say that all those with authority are morally good. Notice that there are authorities that are not morally good. And every authority is under authority. Listen again to what Paul says from chapter 13. For he, meaning the authorities, is God's servant to do you good. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Verse 6. For the authorities are God's servants. Think about this. We would not argue the fact that King David was God's servant. We would not argue the fact that the prophets were God's servant. But do you realize that the scriptures say King Nebuchadnezzar, an ungodly man, King Nebuchadnezzar, the scriptures explicitly call him the servant of God. Parents are servants of the Lord. The session are servants of the Lord. Your boss, political leaders are all servants of the Lord. And He gives them power to act on His requests. Paul says that Christ gave him authority as an apostle for building up the church, for the good of the church. All earthly power must be used to the honor of God and to the good of each other. Paul, when writing to the Ephesians, says, God placed all things under the feet of Christ and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Every authority that is established on the earth is done so for the good of the church. Thus, all earthly authority, all earthly power is under the authority of Christ for the good of the church. They are Christ's servants to do good for the church. The authority of the husband over the wife, the authority of parents over the child, the authority of the elders over the church, the authority of the employer over the employees, the authority over the state, the authority of the state has over the citizens. It all finds its ultimate purpose in promoting good for the church. You see, no servant is given that responsibility in order to serve himself. God gives nobody any authority for self-indulgence. Any earthly authority is a limited authority. And that authority is limited to being the servant of Jesus Christ to the good and to the blessing of the church. And when that authority is not used for the good of the church, then God removes that authority and places another in its position.
When Herod did not use his earthly powers for the good of the church, there was consequences. And the scriptures tell us, it says, immediately because Herod did not give glory to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down and he was eaten by worms. In the case of Herod, God worked directly. He didn't use any other human way. He just acted on his own. But God usually doesn't work that way. Because of the kings of Israel were leading the nation astray in idol worship. It says that God removed them. Listen to 2 Kings. Surely these things happened to Judah according to the Lord's command in order to remove them from his presence because of the sins of Manasseh and all he had done. Jeremiah the prophet calls these wicked kings to account for their sin. And when they do not repent, the scriptures say that Jeremiah the prophet says that Nebuchadnezzar, another ungodly king, still being the servant of God, destroyed Israel. God deals with the wayward powers with other institutions of authority. When God deals with His authorities who are not faithful to their calling, sometimes God works like He worked with Herod, just immediately takes his life. Most of the time, God uses other authorities to hold the wicked authority in account. As you studied your American history in school, why did the English lose America? Well, depending on who you read, it's because the King of England had broken covenant. And so therefore, his authority over the colonies came to an end. Napoleon was defeated. Hitler was defeated. Initially, they were all God-ordained authorities, but they were ordained, God-ordained authorities in order to do the church good, to promote what is good, to punish what is evil. But they turned out not to be good and faithful servants, but instead servants of wickedness. And so when we come to the commandment, honor thy father and mother, we are dealing with a grassroots commandment. A grassroots commandment that is going to deal not just with the authority of mom and dad, but the authority of the teacher over the pupils, the authority of the session over the congregation, the authority of the magistrates over the citizens. And we're going to see that more clearly next week. But it is not simply that God has established these different authorities, but especially as we deal with mom and dad. Why does Christ begin right there? Why not just say, well, everybody just needs to submit to God? Why is it specifically stated, honor thy father and mother? It is because your first introduction into the authority of God in your life comes from those who you first see, mom and dad. It is because God wants that relationship with you that he doesn't appear as lightning bolts and thunder and earthquakes. Instead, he comes to you in the face of your mom and your dad to establish his authority, his rule over your life. He comes to you very gently, very kindly, very lovingly. Honor your father and mother, because it is not just the honoring of father and mother that is intended here, but it is what is intended is the honoring of Jesus Christ in the authorities, by the authorities that Christ has established in your life. Let's pray.
Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for our moms and our dads. We thank you for the leadership of the church. We thank you for the leadership of the nation. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would grant all of these authorities wisdom, power, gentleness, humility, that they may govern to the glory of Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Let us close.